Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's another edition of Zone Time. Sam from the broadcast is here. Omar from In the Mentions is here. Kath is also here from the Outsports Hockey Podcast. I tried to just bring up the topic of the Batman before we got started, and it seems as if no one has really watched it yet. So unlike what we almost did with Euphoria a couple episodes ago, we will not engage in any ice-breaking discussions about pop culture things like the Batman, just to ensure there are no spoilers. But you know what? I'm not even going to say if I liked it or not. Y'all go watch the movie. Let's talk about another thing that's supposed to promise blockbusters. The trade deadline. The NHL trade deadline.
That's a good one. That was a good segue. I like that. That was clean.
You see what I did there? We're going to talk mainly about trades throughout the entirety of the show. It's going to be a trade deadline themed episode of Zone Time. And there's one team we seem to be focusing on a lot. And it happens to not necessarily be the Toronto Maple Leafs, but a team that could make a splash ahead of the deadline. Fine, that's true. We have to consider who's on this episode. But the Colorado Avalanche, they're a team that has been linked to one Claude Giroux, who by the time this episode is out, he will be playing his 1,000th game as a member of the Philadelphia Flyers that night. So we're on a Wednesday recording. This should be out on Thursday. He'll be playing that Thursday night. Can you imagine if Claude Giroux joins the Colorado Avalanche? Like, there's the potential of like a super team, essentially, because they're already stacked. They have one of the best forwards in the world in Nathan MacKinnon. They have a Norris Trophy candidate in Cale Makar. Their goaltending looks to be pretty set. And then you just add Claude Giroux. Again, you have to figure out a way to do it without your top picks. But I'd like to start with Cuff here. If they add Claude Giroux, like, are you willing to call this team like a super team?
And I think we're getting there. I mean, it's really, really, really deep. I mean, it's the forwards that get all the attention. But I was talking to Peter Baugh, the Athletic, last year, and I threw it out there to him, like, is the strength of this team now with the defense? And he wasn't quite ready to go there. But I feel more and more strong about that take, because if you look at their defense core, they've got 9 NHL defensemen. Like, what does it take to win? What does it take to win in the Stanley Cup playoffs? Like, you need depth at that position. They got 9 guys that a bunch of teams, like teams all across the postseason bracket, would want on their roster. I'm counting 6 or 7 potentially elite guys too, like at their positions, like elite as in an elite 5th or an elite 6th or an elite 7th. Yeah. Like, they are so deep at that position. And guess what? They're still underpaying one of the best players in the world in Nathan MacKinnon. They got Nazem Kadri on a good deal. They've got all these guys who can chip in and do their part. And if they add Claude Giroux, again, it'll be at about half the cost, just like Josh Manson, who chose his shot. And of course, he went to Colorado. Like, you're just going to be adding another player that comes in undervalued. The only way to achieve a super team is to get a bunch of players that are elite, undervalued. And if any team's doing that in the league right now, it's Colorado.
That's not bad. Omar, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's literally like, It's like in Power Rangers when they have a Megazord, and then like the new Ranger like comes out of nowhere, and then they add more Zords to the Megazord, and it gets just like this buffed out like animation. Like, it's literally like that. Like, I look at Colorado and I don't know how they can lose. Like, even any aspect of weakness you feel is kind of covered with the other areas of the team. Like, you know, you mentioned the goaltending's a little shaky, but if you have like a solid blue line like what they're creating right now, then, you know, goaltending, I think, can kind of figure itself out there. And then in the event where you have to score out your problems, they have literally all these players, and then adding Claude Giroux would just be a very annoying and frustrating cherry on top. And it's funny, like Daryl Sutter, like, you know, had an interesting point ahead of a game the other day, saying that, you know, you don't want to be the team that has to face Colorado for 8 days because you're going to lose. And
It's a waste of time.
Yeah, it's literally a waste. That there's no point. So if I'm a team in the West, the Central, whatever, and I see that I'm in a first round series against Colorado, like I'm just like, if I'm the GM, I'm like, hey man, you know, good. We'll reassess in the summer. We'll see what's going on there, because like they're the team to beat. And yeah, like, you know,
wave the white flag.
Like, we praise the NBA and, you know, for making all these super teams, all these like these one organizations where all these stars come together. And I think definitely when it comes to NHL, like Colorado has to be the closest thing to that.
What about you, Sam?
Yeah, I mean, this is, you think about the Colorado Avalanche at their peak, like in the 90s, this is as close to that team as we've seen anyone get in a really long time. And you know, those teams were my favorite teams growing up, so this is great for me personally. I would love to see them add Claude Giroux. I think it would be so much fun to watch. I don't know that you could see any other team where they're like, oh yeah, we're just gonna send Gabriel Landeskog off for knee surgery in the middle of the season, no big deal, doesn't matter, like he'll be back for playoffs and we're not gonna miss a beat. Like, they've lost over the last few years. They've lost McKinnon multiple times. They've lost Ratanen multiple times. They've lost Landeskog multiple times. And it never seems to derail them, because they are, like Justin said, just absurdly deep. And, you know, I often think about the trade they pulled off to get Devon Toews.
Oh, my God.
Listen to me, man.
What was it? Was it just like 2 seconds?
Two second round pick.
Listen, man. Listen. Stop. Lou Lamoriello was a great GM, but like, stop it. Like that, my God.
The best part is if you say this to any Islanders fan, they're like, Devon Toews isn't even that good. I'm like, I don't know what you're watching.
Sam, you're tread lightly with the Islanders. Tread lightly with the Islanders, please. That being said, I don't ever want to hear people say that making trades are hard. Because there are GMs who will go out there and they'll say trades are hard. And I understand the climate that we're in. But when you see moves being pulled off like that, I'm sorry. As someone who doesn't know how to make a trade in the NHL, I'm like, well, why can't you do that? Sometimes I think that.
Here's the thing, though. They are easier when you're the Colorado Avalanche right now, right? Because everybody wants to play for them. We don't actually see this often where guys will hold out for the opportunity to go to a select team. Like, that happens in the NBA all the time. We haven't really seen this in the NHL, but with Manson basically calling a shot, coming over for very little and to get paid only $2 million at least on Colorado's cap, and I think Giroux may be doing the same thing. Like, that is a huge, huge advantage, but it's an advantage that's earned. So all credit in the world goes to the Avalanche for that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, the one thing that'll be interesting is whether or not the goaltending pans out. Like, obviously it's worked out for them in the regular season, but one of their issues last year was Grubauer wasn't superb in the playoffs, and they haven't made it out of the first round. But they're doing what you want to see your team do, right? People who are like, oh, the Avs are stacked and they still can't make it out of the first round. Sorry, Omar, I know it's treading dangerously close, but
they were in the second round last year.
Yeah, that's right. What you want to do is put your team in the best position to make it. All it shows you is that you can have a super team and it's still incredibly hard to win.
That is very true. And also, we need a dollar every time we make some pot shot at the Leafs not getting out of the first round. I think if we did that, they would accrue enough cap space to acquire another player ahead of the trade deadline. At this point,
seriously. I can't even laugh. It's so funny. It's true.
Speaking of other teams, just real quickly on this before we run out and go to another topic. But like, I feel like we're trying to telegraph Claude Giroux going to the Colorado Avalanche. But like, do you see Florida doing this? Do you see Florida also making some kind of splash? I believe they made a trade earlier on Wednesday. I think they shipped off like Frank Vatrano to the Rangers for a fourth. Is that clearing cap space for something else? Who knows? Teams like the Lightning, they might stand pat, but if they're willing to make a move to make something happen, I mean, probably not for Claude Giroux, obviously, but do you see any other? I mean, the Tampa Bay Lightning, funny enough, why can't they be considered a super team? They've won back-to-back championships. You know, again, they're the most impressive team in the salary cap era for not only winning back-to-back championships, but doing it within the calendar year and within a global pandemic. Like, why can't we give them the super team label? I don't know about you. If I was a player and I could call my shot, Colorado and Tampa Bay, those are the two teams I want to play for. I'm calling my agent. I'm saying, hey, get me to one of those teams. Tampa's already a super team, and they don't even have to make a move at the deadline to ensure that standing. So Colorado might be in the process of becoming a super team. Tampa Bay been one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. They are a super team. I think this the difference is that, you know, they have a core that is getting paid their full freight and they're still winning games. I think Colorado has the unique opportunity in that a lot of their players aren't making what you consider their full value. You mentioned Florida. They actually have maybe this tight little window to achieve that status. They did, as you mentioned, trade Frank for Toronto to open up some salary cap space. Like, they're not paying Barkov and Huberdeau a lot of money yet. It's $10 million next year for Barkov. So maybe one more year where you could be really, really aggressive and try to become the Eastern Conference's super team. But it isn't the same. It isn't quite the same. And they've got a couple guys who are making a lot of money. It's really Colorado has got this really interesting window where they can just, it seems like the world's their oyster, and it's a rare and fleeting position to be in.
And I think another point too is that, like, when you're I guess a player where you have all the leverage to, I guess, makes, like, you know, kind of decide and choose where you want to go, I think you really do look at the track record of the team and like what they're building and what they're hoping to accomplish. And if I'm like a player like Claude Giroux, okay, so yeah, both Colorado and Florida who want me. Colorado mm-hmm. has been to the second round. They're trying to, you know, they're trying to get to that next level. Whereas Florida is in Leafs land, where they haven't won a playoff series in however many years. So
since
I think
1996.
Cool. Don't want to go up against that. So I think that's another thing that that players like Giroux will take into account. You know, like, yes, I want it all. Yes, I'll accept the trade, but I also want to be move to a position where I have the best chance to win. And that gets thrown out a lot. And I think, well, especially around the deadline, like, you know, insiders will say, like, oh, they want to go to the best situation to win. And they go to a random team and it's like, are you sure? Like, are you really sure? And I think what Colorado has is, you know, and I think it's something that we've all touched on, is that, you know, they have a prime of riches on, as far as talent. They have, you know, players who are on great contracts. They have a window, and they also have a drive. They know that this is probably maybe one of their, I don't want to say last opportunities, but definitely best opportunities to really get something accomplished. And I think for them, it's Stanley Cup final or bust. And, you know, if I'm one of the prime targets on a trade bait board, like, that's definitely where I want to go.
That's a good point. Sam, do you have any final thoughts on this one?
I hope Colorado does it.
I really hope they
Let me throw one more stat at you. Sorry. You mentioned 1996 last time Florida. I think they went to the Stanley Cup final last time they won a series. That was also the last time a team averaged more than four goals per game, finished a season with more than four goals per game. That was the Pittsburgh Penguins. So what is that? Almost 30 years ago? Yeah. Florida Panthers are on pace to become the first team since the Penguins in 96 to average more than four goals per game. That could be considered pretty super.
That's really good. Really good on the stat. That's like, what, 26 years? Because I'm 94 and I'm going to be 28. So that's 26. So almost 30 years. Exactly. By the way, if you are watching on YouTube, you may notice my eyes dart from left to right looking down. I am looking at my phone, making sure that no trades break while we record, because who knows what the hell this show is going to turn into if we have to start talking about, like, Ben Chiarot getting moved to St. Louis in the middle of the show. You have to be vigilant in these times. Speaking of trade deadline deals, I'd like for you guys to tap into your fandoms or tap into past years where you tried your absolute best to watch Trade Center all day, or maybe Sportsnet's broadcast, whatever it's called, and think of deals not that worked, but deals that didn't work. Your team makes a move for a guy. You think, hey man, this is really gonna set our team over the edge. And maybe the player does okay in the regular season, and then he fades, or maybe he just doesn't absolutely work. Like, one guy I could think of who didn't really work out in the playoffs, he worked out in the regular season. Remember the Thomas Vanek sweepstakes? Remember that when he was available and the Canadians got him? I did not expect that to happen. He had like a hat trick in a game at one point. Then in the playoffs, he kind of faltered. And also, we all kind of knew he wanted to go to Minnesota. He went to school out there. And he was going to make his living and be there. And that didn't really work out that long for him in Minnesota either. I think he even ended up back in Buffalo as well. But anyway, like, Thomas Vanek is probably a name that could qualify for this category. Sam, I'd like to know if you have any other examples that could work for this exercise.
Can you come back to me?
We can do that. We can do that. It's a thinker. It's a thinker. It's very much a thinker. Omar, do you have one?
Yes, I do, Julian. Yes, I do. Because, and it's funny that we talked about him not too long ago. This trade proves that no matter how many times we try to make it seem like hockey players are robots, they're not. They're people. The Toronto Maple Leafs acquiring Thomas Plekanec in 2018 was weird and shouldn't have happened. As soon as it happened, I'm like, I don't care what the return is. That is a bad trade, because you can't take someone who lives and breathes Montreal Canadiens, bring him to the rival team, tell him to shave his goatee and say, hey, be the same player. Like, you can't that. And like, watching it, just like, it never fit. And I don't even think he didn't really get an opportunity to kind of stand out, not until the playoffs, but he was on the second line with, like, I think Patrick Marleau and Mitch Marner. But besides that, it just wasn't the, I don't think it was the impact that the Leafs wanted at the time. And so that was always a trade that just would never really like fit for me. And then I guess on another note, I'm going to kind of, I guess, change the stipulations of the conversation a little bit. The concept of own rentals. The Leafs have done it a lot. In 2018, the Leafs had two expiring contracts in Tyler Bozak and James Van Riemsdyk. And they decided, hey, we're going to keep them and let them walk in free agency. And we all know how that took place. Now, if you win a round or two, or you have success in the playoffs, it doesn't matter. But again, you know, seeing, and again, I think JVR like finished the year with like 36 goals, like seeing like the seasons that they had, and then they walk away for nothing. It just like, it makes the season like all that, like that much more difficult to swallow. So the concept of the whole own rental thing has always been something that's, I don't think is talked about enough, especially in this market. But, you know, when you think of names like Jack Campbell, who was on an expiring deal, it's like, you think, hey, you know, are they going to get a deal signed, or are they going to wait? And, you know, it's a little concerning, but yeah.
The Plekanec one was weird. Like, he was so uncomfortable. Like, you could tell he just didn't want to wear the sweater. He just couldn't handle being in the Leaf sweater.
And even after the deal was made, like the reports were out that like he was going to sign in Montreal in free agency, like immediately after the trade. I'm like, cool, that's great, thanks.
That's some commitment here.
I don't know if the proper homework was done on that one, but oh well.
Yeah. Was that Lou? That was Lou. Lou did that, right?
Of course. Yes. Yes, it was.
Lou was rewarding that team. Was Brian Boyle the same year?
No, that was the year before.
Or was it the year before?
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Gotta reward those teams. Gotta reward them.
Okay, yeah, I've got mine. I've got mine. I had to work my way up to it.
That's fine. That's fine.
It was an obvious answer, but Mark Messier. The Canucks acquiring Mark Messier.
Is that deadline?
I don't think that was deadline, but no. I've just repressed all the details.
You know what? Who cares? Let's just throw that in anyway and just talk about how.
Yeah, Mark, you're right. Messier, it wasn't deadline, but it's like the same concept of
the zero of the O's. Oh, who cares if it's not deadline? Mark Messier lives in the nightmares of Vancouver Canucks fans. One name you could have actually said that actually worked in favor of the Vancouver Canucks, I believe, was a deadline deal in 1996. when Marcus Naslund joined the Vancouver Canucks from the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Or Alex Storm.
Pittsburgh.
One of the greatest trades in Canucks history.
Pittsburgh. What were you thinking, buddy? Jeez. Yeah, but that could work. That ended up being a good deal. But I know we're looking for deals that did not work. But hey, this could work as a deal that didn't work for Pittsburgh. But that could fit there. Cuff, do you have one?
Yeah, I think this is actually a good exercise because, like, I don't, you know, Nick Foligno is kind of in the running because you don't really, like, I don't remember all the bad ones. I remember that one because it's fresh on my mind and it was pretty costly considering where the Leafs are at and what happened. But I remember, like, Marian Gaborik going to the Kings and good things happening, and Antoine Vermette going to the Blackhawks and good things happening. The name that popped in my head immediately was Rick Nash. He wasn't even, that does not apply. I don't know why that one, that was like my first instinct. But then I went to Peter Forsberg, who was awesome in Nashville. Like, he was really, really awesome for his brief stay with the Nashville Predators. Unfortunately, like, they had eyes on, like, going on a deep run and winning a Stanley Cup with one of the best players ever, but they only lasted five games before being booted out of the first round by the San Jose Sharks. I think Forsberg was still, like, great in that small series, but they just didn't have it that year, I guess, and they went out and made this huge deal, and it just didn't work out. Thankfully, like most deals, they didn't really give up much. They lost, like, they traded a lot, but they only lost Ryan Parent, Scotty Upshaw, a first, which turned out to be Jonathan Blum, and a third-round pick that was spent on a player that definitely didn't ever make it. So, kind of inconsequential. I think Nashville Predators fans will always remember the brief Forsberg era, but unfortunately, it didn't last very long.
That's true. Omar, you've raised your hand.
I have another answer. I, when hearing Justin talk about the returns, I remembered Thomas Tatar.
Yes.
First, yes. Second, third. And yes. was he not healthy scratched in the
He was
playoffs?
In the press box for the whole, like, the whole run. Yeah.
Yes. And then left for the Canadiens in that following offseason.
That was a tough one. That's a tough one for sure.
That's a lot of picks. Do you guys remember the name Martin Erat?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Martin Erat. For those who don't remember, back in 2013, the Washington Capitals acquired Martin Erat. And a minor leaguer by the name of Michael Latta from the Nashville Predators at the trade deadline thought, hey, that could be a pretty good move. All it cost them was 2012 first round pick Philip Forsberg.
That is a bad trade.
So bad.
imagine Forsberg the last 10 years with not 10 maybe, but the last like good chunk of Ovi's career with that on the second line with, you know, whoever wants to play in that top six, whether it's Backstrom or whoever, like he's amazing. Philip Forsberg was such an underrated player, and he would have had such a ridiculous career in Washington had he stayed, but he went out and got Marty Erat.
I don't know what really ended up happening to Marty Erat, but I think Philip Forsberg is the leading point getter from the 2012 draft class, if I recall correctly. That's but I mean, hey, look, Washington got a cup out of it. I mean, not out of that trade, but they got a cup. They got a cup, like, later. A lot later in their history. Just not to do because they got Martin Erat. That's what
They'll never live down that trade, though. They'll never live it down.
They absolutely will not do it. To conclude our trade deadline special of Zone Time, I brought back trivia, you know, because I think it's a fun thing that we could all laugh at ourselves over. Yes, I love trivia too, Justin. So I prepared some questions. I asked you all to prepare some pens and paper, and you all watching at home, you can participate too. I have some trade deadline related questions. They're all multiple choice. I'll read them out, and you show me your answer on the pen and on the pad that you've used with your pens. Everyone ready?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Let's do it. Question number one. The Boston Bruins, speaking of 2013, ahead of the 2013 deadline, made a trade with the Dallas Stars to acquire a player who famously told Hockey Night in Canada that he was his own favorite player during that year's Stanley Cup final. Who was that player? Was it A, Sean Thornton, B, Wade Redden, C, Jaromir Jagr, or D, Joe Korva?
Can I hear the options again?
Yeah.
Sean Thornton, A, B, Wade Redden, C, Jaromir Jagr, or D, Joe Corvo? The Bruins acquired this player at the 2013 deadline. And I guess in one of those little like Hockey Night in Canada vignettes during the final, they sit a player down and they're like, hi, my name is so-and-so and my favorite player was this. This player said his own name. And I mean, in all fairness, you know, I don't know. Maybe being a little cocky. Justin seems pretty confident in the fact that he has an answer. Sam looks like she's still thinking about it. Omar is lost in thought.
Have to do process of elimination.
Okay. All right. Let's get these answers out. 3, 2, 1. Show them. Okay. So Sam and Omar are wrong. Justin has it right. It was Jaromir Jagr.
Come on.
He was traded? I thought he signed there.
Why would he? Well, who else?
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
Oh, I thought he signed there. Oh, okay, I thought he signed there. That's why. Okay.
Nah, he was traded to Boston that year from Dallas. Okay. Question number two. Let's see if you guys know this. Let's see if this story carried across Canada and resonated as much as it did in my city. Ahead of the 2008 NHL trade deadline, Montreal Canadiens fans believed their team was close to acquiring Marian Hossa because the team reportedly, according to the press, ordered a piece of hockey equipment fitted to his measurements. What was that piece of equipment? Was it A, shin pads, B, gloves, C, helmet, D, jock strap? It was a big deal. It was a very big deal. And it's still like legend, like pretty much to this day. Also, I think his brother may have been in the system at that time. So a lot of people thought, oh, well, maybe it was for his brother, Marcel. Do we have the answers?
Mm-hmm.
Can you read the options one more time?
Shin pads is A, gloves B, helmet C, and D is jock strap.
Okay.
All right. On the count of three, everybody. 1, 2, 3. Show me your answers. There we go. Sam and Justin have it right. Omar, it's not a helmet. It was Marian Hossa. It was gloves. Gloves.
There's a little like Hossa inscription, wasn't there?
Something like that. Yeah. It ended up, of course, Hossa did not go to the Montreal Canadiens that deadline. He went to the Pittsburgh Penguins, I believe, at that deadline, and then lost the Stanley Cup that year, and then went to Detroit the next year and lost. Wait, do I have that crossed up right? Which one? No, it's Pittsburgh first and he lost, and then Detroit and then he lost.
That's tough.
And then Chicago and won.
Yeah. And then Chicago and won, and he won 3 with Chicago. Okay, next one. Mike Sillinger holds the record for most NHL teams played for with 12, but he also shares the record for most times traded with another NHLer, Brent Ashton. How many times were those two players traded? Was it A, 9 times? Was it B, 10 times? Was it C, 7 times? Or D, 6? So it's either 9, 10, 7, or 6 times that Mike Sillinger had been traded in his career. He holds the record for most teams played for and shares the record for most traded player, essentially. All right. Looks like I can't tell if Sam's still thinking or not. All right. Let's do it. 3, 2, 1. Show me your answers. Sam is the... Oh, nope. Sam and Omar got it right. It was 9 times. It was 9 times.
Now I can. Okay. Now I feel good.
That's all right,
my,
cool.
That's my goal for these trivia shows: is at least get one, and I feel good about myself.
So Omar got one.
How many are there?
So there's one last one.
Okay, that's for all the marbles then.
This is for all the marbles here. Justin and Sam, I think both have 2, and then Omar has 1. So hey, Omar, you have a Hey, look, this next one is about. Yes. Mm-hmm. Omar, this next one's about the Leafs. So you might have an advantage. Jesus.
Okay. All right.
The Toronto Maple Leafs acquired Owen Nolan ahead of the 2003 NHL trade deadline from the San Jose Sharks. In exchange, they gave up Alan McCauley, Brad Boys, and a first-round pick that was eventually flipped to the Boston Bruins. You might remember the 2003 NHL entry draft and how stacked that class was. Who did the Bruins select in the first round of that year's draft? Was it A, Ryan Getzlaff, B, Brent Burns, C, Mark Stewart, D, Jeff Carter. Who do the Bruins take in the first round of that draft with that pick?
Sorry, can you give the options again?
Ryan Getzlaff, Brent Burns, Mark Stewart, Jeff Carter. Remember, Omar, you have the advantage. You're the Leafs fan among us.
Yeah,
but I know Justin covers the team.
I tend not to remember bad moments.
It really got away from the Leafs quick, though.
I mean, could have been worse. You could have taken Andre Kostitsyn in that draft.
Is he the one that partied in Nashville? Speaking of Nashville playoff runs, that didn't go well.
Was that he Sergei? May have probably Sergei, but I believe both of them ended up with some kind of reputation.
Can you say the options one last time?
Ryan Getzlaff, Brent Burns, Mark Stewart, Jeff Carter, and I'm saying them in the order of A, B, C, D. Omar's really thinking about it. He might not genuinely know who the Boston Bruins took in the first round of the 2003 NHL entry draft.
If it wasn't multiple choice, I would have had no chance.
Oh, me too.
I might not. I may have not gotten it right either.
Oh, man. I look, that's why I'm glad I do multiple choice, because like I know if I were in your shoes, I would not get these. Absolutely not.
I knew two of them for sure weren't, and then the other two were a toss-up.
I'm actually quite surprised. But you know what? It's actually kind of funny seeing Omar just like sit there and think about it and not
because I have a hunch, but I feel like if that was right, we'd be talking about it more.
Go through your process, okay. Omar.
Go through your process. Go through to the answer.
Sam and I are locked in.
See if you get it right.
It's right here.
All right.
No change.
Okay.
All right, everybody. Let's do this.
Go through your process. Oh, okay.
Oh wait. Omar, do you need another?
I wanted to know what his theory was.
Oh, just because, like,
okay,
it's not Getzlaff. I know that for a fact. Brent Burns, like, for some reason that stood out. But I was like, wait, if that was a thing, if Brent Burns could have been a Leaf, I feel like that would have been talked about more, like every time we face San Jose. So that's why I was like, no, it's probably not that.
I mean, in all fairness, like, there's a lot of stuff that gets buried in time, right? Like Brian Leetch was a Leaf.
A long time ago.
Man, there are still people who like go back and think that we could have got what's it called? I think like Detroit got Zetterberg in the second. No, there was like I think the two picks that Detroit used to get Datsyuk and Zetterberg, the Leafs were like in the middle. So it was like Detroit got Datsyuk, the Leafs got some random goaltender, and then the Detroit got Zetterberg again. I'm pretty sure something like that. So like
you could have been the Rangers and taken Hugh Jessiman, who I think turned into like a Broadway actor not too long.
You say the last two options one more time.
Mark Stewart and Jeff Carter. Those are C and D.
Okay, I think I know.
I wish we could have added like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire music underneath all of them. Because that would have been really good.
It's still possible.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right, everybody. Okay. Final answer. Unveil your answers. Yep. 3, 2, 1. It's so funny. He scratched out B. The correct answer is C, Mark
Let's
Stewart.
Let's go.
Okay. The like answer a reaction is to Stewart. It.
That, 100%. Because like that's how I was thinking of him. Like if it's no definitely way. Not Getzlaff. I know Getzlaff was an Anaheim draft pick. I know I know Jeff Carter. Was Jeff Carter? Jeff Carter
was a flyer.
Philly. Yeah, Philly. Yeah, Jeff Carter was Philly.
Like Mike Richards.
And I was like going back and forth. I'm like, there's no way if Brent Burns could have been a Leaf every time we face San Jose.
Brent Burns was Brent with Burns the Wild.
Exactly.
Correct.
Headshot. Yeah. Yeah. So, okay, cool. Excellent.
The Leafs didn't pick until like 57th overall that year.
2003. I'm not surprised
Wow. And they didn't even get like a good player.
Trade the first rounders, I guess.
Yes, because that was a year where it's just like, hey, first round picks, who cares about that? Prospects, you haven't played in the NHL, who cares? There you go. Off, like, man.
Time is a flat circle. It's repeating itself.
Yeah.
John Doherty, 57th overall. The very next pick. Future Chicago Blackhawks head coach Jeremy Colleton.
Oh,
and then Maxime Lapierre later on, and then David Backes, and then Jimmy Howard.
2003 okay. staff, dude.
That's all before Shea Weber and Patrice Bergeron were taken.
That's the one draft that's so fun to like just look through, and it's like, you went where? Like it's a wild draft. Like that in 2015, I think were two drafts that are like so fun to go through.
And like the World Junior team the year after.
Holy yes. God. Stacked.
Oh my God.
Stacked. Still the most stacked World Junior team for Team Canada we've ever seen. Yeah. Ever. Like that first line with Bergeron, Perry, and Crosby.
That's so stupid. That's so stupid.
Anyway, we'll keep that in mind for when we inevitably talk about the NHL draft, whether it's, on Zoom or maybe in person in Montreal. Who knows? We could find a way to make that work. In the meantime, thank you all for watching our Trade Deadline Edition of Zone Time. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode, and we'll talk about all the trades that happened and the trades that didn't happen. Maybe Claude Giroux will play for the Colorado Avalanche. Maybe he'll play for the Florida Panthers and haunt the Toronto Maple Leafs some more. We'll get back to it next week.
I quit if he goes to Florida.
No, you cannot quit. You cannot quit, Omar.
I love this platform. I will like actively scream like into the void if he ends up on Florida.
You should like do a Twitter space and do that. For Omar, Sam, Cuff, I'm Julian saying so long and peace. We'll be back next week.